welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Today's message will give you biblical keys on how to see, give, and receive God's grace. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
I could literally be in this series for the rest of the year, but we're going to call it a close right now. But I think God may have saved the best for last. Because we've gone through a lot of concepts, and literally I would love to rehash everything we've talked about over the past 8 weeks, but I don't have time. So I'm going to encourage you to go to YouTube or our Transformation Church app, and there are 8 sermons over the grace of God. And I want you to get this, because this is a fundamental belief and understanding you have to have if you're going to live a victorious Christian life. It wrecked me, because I lived 20 plus years and I never knew about the grace of God. The only thing I knew about the grace of God is there was a famous song called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like, y'all know it, but that's about as much as you knew about grace too before we're starting to really dive into this. And so we've learned about the saving grace of God. We've learned about the sustaining grace of God. But today, I want to talk about the thing that's going to help you live. Like, I want to talk about the thing that after you get saved and after you know that God is for you, I want to talk about the thing that's going to help you stop cussing everybody out. Oh, yeah. I need to help you, because some of y'all are saved sailors. Like, y'all are saved sailors. Y'all be cussing everybody out in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to figure out how we can move from being holy to being, I don't want us to be hoey. I want us to be holy. And I know, because we get saved, that a lot of times our actions don't line up with what we are believing and we're confessing. Okay, this side being fake. Can we be honest in the building? Have you ever wanted to stop doing something and you could not stop doing it? Come on, let's be honest, okay? Yep, there's a row back there that's still bougie. Let's try it one more time. Is there anybody in here who still has something that's an issue that you really want God to change in your life, but it seems to be a problem? Hands everywhere. Okay, cool. So if that's you, you came to the right place today. Because the title of today's message is the empowering grace of God. The empowering grace of God. So grace can do more than just save you. And it's funny, because most people just spend their life just trying to make it to heaven. Like, I'm just trying not to. I just want to make sure that when he cracks the sky, I wasn't sinning on that day so I could, come on, y'all, so I could just make it to heaven. Like, hopefully this was a good week for me. But I just want to say this to you, like your eternity is settled when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's the first level of faith, the bottom floor. Like, you don't even see what God wants to do with your life if you're just staying on the first level. If you've believed and received the grace of God, and some of y'all are like, the grace of God, what is the grace of God? Write this down if you don't have it. The grace of God is the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor and kindness of God. And none of us, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:9, it says it's a free gift of God, because he knew all of us, if we could earn it, we would earn it and boast about it. Yeah, bro, I got them new grace threes. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm walking out here in grace. And God said, no, I'm giving it to everybody, so that everybody, as long as you receive it, you can have it. And so what ends up happening in this is that once you receive grace, most people still struggle with the old them. Like, I'm saved, but why am I still so angry? I'm saved, but why am I still dealing with such strong insecurities? I worship, but I worry. Am I talking to anybody in here? Like I'm trying to be faithful, but somewhere I'm fearful. And it's this dynamic where we are trying to figure out our humanity and our divinity. Like my new life in Christ, but this flesh suit I'm in. Like being saved and sanctified, but living in a world of sin. And I'm here to tell you that God is so good that he never set us up to fail. Like he didn't bring this whole thing to a plan so we could struggle until we get to heaven. Like he wants us to live an empowered life. Somebody say, I'm supposed to live an empowered life by the grace of God. Yeah, and many of us don't know. And so today, that's where we're going to spend our time, not just talking about the saving grace of God or the sustaining grace, but that empowering grace that makes you look at situations that you used to do. And then you say, you know what? Something in me is rising up and saying, I cannot do that. I don't have to answer your phone call. Delete. I don't have to steal this money. I'm walking away. I don't have to get angry. And that's where I believe the church really needs to be transformed, because we have come into a place where most of us have settled with our sickness. Let me prove it to you. We'll say stuff like this. This is just the way I am. And for you, that may mean a lot of things. But somehow God's power was strong enough to save us from death, hell, and the grave. But it can't change your attitude when you're hungry. Come on, let's be honest. Like, he literally defeated all sin. But somehow you're so powerful that he cannot allow you to withstand temptation and lust and perversion that used to be so common for you. You can't say no to. I mean, Pastor Mike, it was just there, Pastor Mike. I mean, it was just on a platter, like right there. No, that means you haven't experienced the other side, the flip side of the coin to grace. Not the grace that just saves you and rescues you. It's the grace that empowers you to say no to what wants to rob your purpose. The grace that empowers you to keep going back to that hard relationship and working on it. The grace, see, we want to run from it. And God wants to use it. And so today, I just want us to know that the grace of God is for your empowerment. And just make sure you know this. Just know this. We're saved by grace through faith for good works. Like, I want everybody to write that down if you don't have that. We're saved by grace through faith for good works, okay? And so when you understand that principle, then we can walk into today's message, okay? So I asked the Holy Spirit to help me, because a lot of times when I start talking about the empowering grace of God, most people think it's a self-help sermon or a better practices like set of rules, and it's not. When you get saved, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our helper. Now, I know the Holy Spirit, depending on what denomination you came from or how new you are to the faith, or sometimes they call him the Holy Ghost, he's gotten a bad rap just because of his name. Like, you say the Holy Ghost, and some of y'all are like, I don't mess with no ghosts. Like I don't do ghosts at all. Like, you say the Holy Spirit, and it just becomes something. But the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is our comforter. He's our aid. He's our helper. He's our power. So it was God's grace. He literally told the disciples, because the disciples was tripping. When Jesus told them, I'm about to leave y'all, Jesus was like, y'all, don't worry, man. I'm about to leave. And they're like, no, Jesus, you're leaving. He said, I've been telling y'all this for 3 years. Since we got together, I've been telling y'all, my time is coming. I'm about to leave you. He said, and this is the greatest part. He says, but you really do want me to leave. Because when I leave, another one's coming. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he will empower you. He will help you. He will be able to give you the power that you do not naturally have in yourself. And most of us live our life trying to do better instead of letting the Holy Spirit work in us and allowing us to become what we can't be on our own. Let me prove it to you, because some of y'all just looking at me. Write this down. This is your first point. The grace of God empowers us. I just want you to write that down and know that very clearly. The grace of God empowers us. And we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. But I want to give you a definition of grace real fast that really excited me when I found it. This is found in the Zondervan Encyclopedia of Biblical Words. That sounds deep, but it's really not. It says, this grace is a dynamic force that does more than affect our standing with God by crediting us with righteousness. This grace affects our experience as well. See, the grace of God is supposed to affect your everyday experience. It says grace is always marked by God's enabling work within us to overcome our helplessness. Now, I want you to picture every area of your life that you're helpless in. Now, I know we don't put that on blast, and we don't put any social media post about like helpless Wednesday. Like we don't do that. Like we don't show the areas that we're weak in. But God says that his grace is to help us overcome our helplessness. It's supposed to empower us through the Holy Spirit. So look what 2 Peter 1, 3 says. It says by his divine power. Whose divine power? His. This is God's divine power. Okay. By God's divine power. Now, this is the same power that spoke the whole world into existence and is standing and keeping it, holding it in place right now by his very word. This is the same God. I just want you to think about how powerful God is. This is the same God that took dirt and a little spit and made us. Like, I want you to see how powerful this is. This is the same God, okay, that told oceans, you go this far. Land, you come this far. Like, this is that same God. So by his divine power, he has given to who? Us. I need you to stay with me on the scriptures. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is good news for you. I am so hyped before I should be right now, because I know the end of this sermon. But what I'm trying to tell you right now is that when you become a new creation in Christ, God gives you right then everything that you need to be successful at this life and to not just live a life, but live a godly life. And see, what the enemy comes to do is distract you from that truth, because he has you thinking that it's too hard to live this life right. He has you thinking that it's too hard to be nice to people. It's too hard to love your enemies. It's too hard. But he said, when you got saved, I have a divine power that I'm giving to you. Amen. To be able to live a life that's not natural. Let me help you and let's keep going. He says, this was brought to you through the knowledge of him, my son, Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. Now, let me stop. The great and precious promises are the word of God. Like, so when you get into the word of God, you tap into a power source that allows God's divine power to then be transferred to you. How many of us have cell phones in this place? Okay, how many times do you sit your cell phone away from the charger and it charges? None of the time. It can be close to it, but if it's not plugged into it, it will never be able to produce what you need to go to the entire world. Right now, you can call Beijing from your phone. You don't know nobody in Beijing, but you could FaceTime somebody in a different country if your phone had charge. What God is saying is when you get into the great and precious promises, which are found in the word of God, you connect to a power source that then transfers his power to you. And see, that's why some of y'all are so kept out of the word of God. And some of y'all get it. It's like Ambisol, or not Ambisol. What's the thing that puts you to sleep? You know what? Y'all know what it is. I rebuke the spirit of, never mind. It's like an Ambien when you open your Bible. How many of us get sleepy? Come on, let's be truthful. Some of y'all just be, hey, glory to God. And I read the same verse 90 times. Why is that? Because the enemy is trying to use everything to distract you from your power source. Because if you could get into the word of God and understand his great and precious promises, then look what happens. It says, through these promises, you may be partakers. Or switch it around, take part in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me help you understand this, okay? So I have a nature, and Michael's nature doesn't do what God wants him to do. Michael's nature doesn't even do what's good for Michael. Our natural stuff will do stuff to us that'll kill us. Our nature will work against us. And so what God says is, I have divine power, empowerment through my grace and my love, that I don't want you to just be struggling your whole life. I've sent the Holy Spirit. I've given you the word of God. And I want you to plug into these sources. Because if you ever do plug, I transfer my power through that mechanism into you. And so people ask me all the time, Pastor Mike, how do you get up every Sunday and like preach like that in the revelation? And you ain't never been to college to do that. Oh, you thought I was doing this? You thought this was me? No, 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 no. I am a partaker in a divine nature that ain't even mine. When I connect to the power source, I can then do things that are not natural to me. And what I'm telling you is that the grace of God is not just to save you. The grace of God is not just to sustain you and like make sure you live a pretty life. It's to empower you to stand in the face of culture, to stand in the face of lust, to stand in the face of your own demons and say, I'm a new creature. I don't got to do that no more. Well, yes, you do. It's right here. It's more available than you ever done. No, 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 no. You forgot. I'm a partaker in a nature that is divine. I'm a partaker in something that's bigger than me right now. The Holy Spirit, my flesh wants to say yes. But I gotta say no, because I understand that there is a purpose that is bigger than this moment. And most believers live in the moment and they do not think about how God wants to empower them to make the right decisions in every moment so that they can reach purpose. And that's all I'm here to tell you. Is everybody who's been trying to fight your fight alone, stop it. Because if it would have worked, you would be free now. Try the Holy Spirit. Try plugging into the great and precious promises. And allow God's divine power to transfer from the word of God. When you hear these messages, when you're reading your scriptures, when you're going, it turns into a power source that allows me to walk into places and have a nature that I didn't. Y'all, it be shocking me sometimes what I say. No, you think I'm playing. because this ain't me. This is me plugged into the source. This ain't me. Y'all, people wear leggings. They wear stockings as pants these days. Some of y'all are guilty. Shame you. No. What I'm saying is, and we're a hot church, my problem was lust and perversion. So how now, as a pastor, a leader, a public figure, do I go around and I see all the beautiful creations that God has made? Yellow, red, black, and white. They are precious in my sight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, y'all want to be fake in here? My wife is on the front row. We already talked about this, okay? What I'm telling you is that how can I walk in to a new availability? You know how Mike Jones used to say, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. Some of y'all know Tiffin on Fofo. Anyway, some of the older people are like, what, 4-4s? Just ask somebody else. Okay. What I'm saying is, it was harder when I was going against God. And now that I'm trying to live holy, it's available. It's easier. How do I withstand the temptation that is in my face? Oh, excuse me. Let's make it more personal. How do I withstand the temptation in my DMs? How do I withstand the temptation at my college, at my job? How do I withstand the temptation that's on my computer? Because my nature If we just talk about Michael's nature, it would go after those things. But you forgot, I am no longer who I used to be. I'm not just saved by grace. I'm saved for good works. And so now, because I have to live in this arena, I have to go to a power source bigger than me. I cannot solve my own issue with my power. So when I wake up in the morning, my prayer is not, God, let me be dope this today. Lord, let me, you know, go out here and kill them and smash them, Lord, and represent. Like, that ain't my prayer. My prayer when I wake up in the morning, God, give me grace. Empower me to be a good husband. Father God, put your divine nature on me so that when they cut me off in the road, Father, I lift my hands, but not with only one of them, God. I thank you. Oh, y'all better come on. Father, I thank you that And what ends up happening is after time, when you tap into this divine nature that empowers you to live, you look up and be like, man, I think there's a song that said, what I used to do, I don't do no more. Where I used to go, I don't go anymore. Why? It's because you've allowed the Holy Spirit to become your power source. And so I just want you to know, as we end this series, that the grace of God is not so you can just keep sinning. So I got the grace now, bro. I'm about to go out here and wild out. No, the grace of God is to empower you to get off of the first level of faith and start living in the fullness of what God has for you. And so when I started looking at this, okay, God, I want to take part in your divine nature. I want to be empowered to live a different life. I want to stand. Well, God, is there somebody in the Bible who had a real experience like this that I could point to let the people know? Pastor Mike ain't just up here talking. Like, this is really something that needs to happen. And he said, yeah, go talk about Paul today. And I started to research Paul's life. And Paul, man, y'all get this picture real quick. Paul, one week, was killing Christians. Like Monday, killing them. Scat, 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 scat. Scat, scat. Killing Christians on Monday. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you. Scat, scat. You understand what I'm saying? Killing Christians on Monday. On Wednesday, headed in to another city to kill more Christians. You know what I'm saying? He walking in there ready. And then he has an encounter with grace like a flood. God comes and meets him on the Damascus Road. He takes him out and blinds him for a few days. And in that moment, he has an internal transformation. And literally by the next Monday, he's going around as a herald of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, if you went on vacation for 1 week and you missed Paul's transformation, like, just let's just say you was out. Like, let's just say you was out of the office. And like Monday, scat, scat. And the next Monday is like, praise the Lord. Like you wouldn't know what to do. This, I think it's the same thing for Paul. That even after he was transformed in his spirit, he still had some issues letting go of his old life. Just like us, like we've been saved for 10 years, but we still have an issue with anger. Like we've been saved for 5 years, but we still have an issue with our eyes or our heart or our lust. Like, how do you deal with going the right direction, but still dealing with some of our problems? Because see, this is the fight that most of us are in daily. And I said, God, give me some wisdom. And so we're going to look at Paul's life real quick and see if we can't learn a few things about the empowering grace of God to help you walk while you still got issues, to help you keep moving while stuff ain't all the way right, to help you keep going forward even when you may fall. Yeah. See, because the enemy's trick is to make you fall and then condemn you till you stay down there.
Wow.
Do y'all know the enemy can't do anything to you but suggest? And so you fall. And then he's like, see, you should stay down there. See, ain't nobody even come to check on you. See, that's where you're supposed to be. And he can't keep you from getting up. He can just convince you that it's not worth getting up. And so I'm here to talk to a few believers who have been knocked down or maybe struggled in their faith or are on fire at one moment and then they kind of like simmering right now. And I want to talk to you right now and let you see that you don't got to do this on your own. You don't got to raise those kids on your own. Even though you got four different baby daddies in four different states, God's saying, I will empower you to raise those kids like all they daddies was there. And I will be their heavenly father. I can empower you. Somebody say grace. There is an empowering grace of God. So I looked at Paul, and Paul was having a schizophrenic conversation in Romans 7:19, like most of us do. Now, we may never have it out loud, but we have this internally. Look, let's just see. Man, verse 19, I want to do what's good, but then I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but dang it, I do it anyway. Has anybody ever been there? Oh, okay. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It wasn't me. It's sin. That's who it is. That's who it was, sin living in me that does it. You know, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power. Now, do you remember that we talked about the divine power of God? But then there's another power. My question is, what is that other power in your life? What is that thing in your life that makes you do stuff you don't want to do? Oh, come on, let's be honest right now. We sing and we praise and we call down heaven, but you can't even control that demon on the inside of you that makes you get up at midnight to go to Taco Bell and order a chalupa. Come on, let's be honest now. What is that thing? What is that other power? Look at it. It says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Isn't that where the battle happens? Yeah. It says, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what miserable person I am. I hate me. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And I want everybody to see this right now. Most of us don't say this, but this is where most of us live. Like, how can I get free from smoking this? How can I get free from being jealous? How can I get free? Come on, let's be, well, because some of y'all, your thing may not be a physical vice, but you compare all the time. And you have been paralyzed by comparison because you're always thinking about what somebody else is doing instead of what God's called you to do. And so we sit here and we stand, and God's saying, what is that thing? That is the power in your life that's making you and leading you into a place of sin. And Paul's having this conversation, but I love this conversation because what I think happened is that Paul remembered the empowering grace of God, because he's having this crisis right now. And then in the next verse, it like switches and he gives the answer to his own problem. Look what he says. I hate my miserable life. I'm a bad person. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Oh, thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you see that? Like, I want you to see that. He remembers that, you know what? Nobody on this earth, not even myself, can save me from all of this that I'm going through. Thank God. Because the answer is Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to tell everybody today, I'm just trying to paint a picture that you can go the next 15 years trying to fix it. Trying to do it in your power. Trying to fix your family. You're the matriarch. You're the parent. I know how to bring them together. You can't change hearts. Like only God can do that. And so instead of you allowing God to do the heavy lifting and empowering you to stay in hard conversations, to not go off when you feel frustrated, instead of allowing him to power you to do what's not natural, because all of us have a natural thing in our lives that we do that's not good for us. Some of you have what I call the blackout line. Like if somebody pushes you in your anger, to this line, there's a line. And if they push you past it, you black out. Like, you don't even know what happened. And then you wake up and it's just like, well, what did I do? Some of us have a convenience line. If it's too convenient, how can I pass it up? No matter how much it'll damage us, I mean, it's there. I mean, I guess God wanted me to. No, fool. Do y'all hear what I'm saying, though? And I don't know what it is, but there's something in us. But this is the thing that we have to realize, that the answer is found in Jesus Christ. So go to 2 Corinthians 12, because we're following Paul through his journey. Because Paul, remember, he's saved now, but he still has some issues. Just like 99.2% of the people in this room are saved, but we got some issues. How do I go after purpose with my issues? How do I keep leading with my issues? How can I stand and say God is great, but I'm still feeling pain in an area of my life? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at Paul's situation. Paul is telling everybody, because he's being persecuted by the Corinthian church right here. He's being persecuted because they're like, man, is this dude really telling the truth? Is he really an apostle? And then he goes and tells all of these stories. He's like, bro, I'm an apostle, bro. I'm telling you, I'm an apostle. Last week, I was caught up to the fourth heaven. I don't even know. You can read it in your own time. I'm just paraphrasing it for you. He's like, bro, I was caught up in heaven. I don't know if it was in the body or if it was in the mind, but I was in heaven last week. And they was like, no, you wasn't. Bet. Look at all of these revelations I got. And I mean, this is, I'm literally paraphrasing like a whole chapter. And he's telling them all this. And he's like, cool. Maybe you don't relate to my great exploits with God, but maybe you can relate to my humanity. The same way I'm coming to you on this last week of this grace like a flood. Maybe you can't relate to all the Greek and the Zondervan definitions and all this other stuff about the empowering grace of God, but maybe you can relate to my humanity. And Paul tells him this story. He says, even though I've received such wonderful revelations and all this other stuff from God, okay, cool. Y'all don't want to hear that. So God did some things to me. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. I'm about to take my jacket off that you think is an amazing robe, and I'm about to show you something in my own life that brings me pain on the daily. He said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord, take it away. Doesn't that sound like us? Take this job away. Like, I can't do this, God. I can't work with these people. They are a thorn in my side. I can't stay in this relationship, God. I can't keep being faithful at this church, God. I can't keep being around these people, God. And it's like there's a thorn, and we keep begging God to take it away. But each time God had a response. My grace is all you need. Now, what if? Now, I know this is counter-Christian and counter-cultural for everybody who likes coming to church and just ending with a hooray. But what if the answer to your prayer was not a fix? What if God responded back to you as, my grace is all you need? Most of us would be like, that's good, but what else? And then you ask again, God, I'm telling you, like, I would serve you better if I wasn't single. Could you please give me a life partner? And God says, yeah, my grace is all you need. Well, God, I mean, if you allow me to go to this college and I'm able to get this diploma and I'm able to work at the internship at this place, then I can become the climb the CEO and I can become the CEO and then I can do you and serve you, God. And I'll, no, go to TCC. Because my grace is all you need. Well, God, if you would just allow my husband to cheat on me so then I can, by the Bible, divorce him because I'm sick of him. And then I'm telling you, y'all be out here praying witchcraft prayers. Lord, just let him do it. Like, I don't even care anymore. I just don't want to go to hell. Like, I just... But what if God's response to you wanting to get out of that relationship is no, stay in it. Because I have a plan that's going to turn this mess into a message. And your encouragement today, you're going to kill him? No. What would be God's encouragement? My grace is all you need. I just want to let that sit here. Because some of y'all are trying to move to the other side of the world. And you may be doing something that's out of the will of God. Because you're trying to search for something that God's trying to make in you. Dang. Wow. See, I told you, I'll be saying stuff I don't even know what it's. Like, God's trying to make something in you and you're trying to run to something else. And he's saying, no, I need you to stay in this for a little bit. It may be uncomfortable. It may be hard. It may be frustrating. But I will empower you to not just get rid of it, but to stand through it. What if the new goal is not just to get away from stuff, it is to outlast it? And so many times we pray for God to take it away instead of praying, God, give me the empowerment, the strength, the love to stand in it to where it doesn't affect me the same way. And this is what Paul is saying right here. And listen, it's funny because three times he asked and three times God said, my grace is all you need. And then he says, my power, the empowerment of grace works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, the hardships. Oh, y'all thought it was just weakness was an ethereal term. He gets real specific. When people insult me, I don't clap back. I don't go off on Facebook. I don't call people to get a committee with me so that we can have our own little pity party. He said, I rejoice in that. I rejoice in persecution. I rejoice in troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I make just a couple of suggestions that you may need to think about if you're going to really receive the empowering grace of God? Pain is a prerequisite for your purpose. Like, and I know everybody paints this like cookie cut, picture perfect idea of Christianity. Like, you get saved and nothing goes wrong. But people get saved and go through hard, hard situations. Like, how many people believe in Jesus, but have gone through hard situations? Okay? The Bible tells us very clearly the very opposite. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I've already overcome the world. So it really is about outlasting and finding the grace to withstand in the middle of it. But I just need to make it sure, especially for my millennials, that anytime we feel opposition, we think it's God telling us no. Like, anytime it's hard, we feel like maybe this wasn't God. No, this is exactly what God is trying to use to make you into what he's called you to be. And that's why I begin to look at 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, when Paul's talking about we're pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we're not abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we get up again, but we are not destroyed. I mean, that's what the scripture says. It literally says that there's gonna be pain, but there's something that empowers us to get back up again. Yes. And I want us to realize this as we understand that our purpose is ahead of us. And maybe this is a major key that'll help you like it helped me. God told me this. He said, Michael, I use discomfort to reinforce dependence. So God uses uncomfortable situations to reinforce that you need him. How many times did Paul pray? Three times. If he would have talked to God or prayed or talked to him once and God answered it, he would have left. Thank you, God. Appreciate you for taking this thorn. But some of us have situations in our life because with those situations, it's the only reason that we go to God. Most of us wouldn't go to God if we wouldn't allow God to use our pain. And let me be careful to let you understand this. God doesn't send pain. We live in a fallen world. There's pain all around, but God will use pain. He will use everything to work it together for your good. And maybe God is using your pain to keep you dependent on him. Because how often do you pray when you're bawling? When everything's good, we don't be going to God. We just be like, bless up. Like we made it and we did this. But God said, yeah, that relationship issue keeps you coming to me. And until we mature in our relationship with God to where we don't serve God out of discipline, we serve him out of devotion. Sometimes our pain keeps us coming to God. And it's used for purpose. And this is funny because I kept reading in the scripture when it talks about Paul having a problem. They said there's a reason that he was tormented by this thorn in his side. And when I say thorn, that can be an issue. That can be a weakness. The Bible is not clear. And I tried to research it, but theologians don't know what the thorn was. It could have been a person. It could have been emotional. It could have been physical. It could have been anything. But I think that is so cool that they leave it kind of open, because then you can put your thorn in there. Like, what's your thorn? What's your issue? What's that thing that brings you pain? God says, I'll use that to keep you dependent on me, and I'll use it to keep you from destroying yourself. Why do you say that, Pastor Mike? Because it tells us that Paul's able to articulate the reason why he had this pain in his life. The Bible says it was to keep him from getting proud. Like, that's what it said. He said, I was given a thorn in my side, a evil spirit from Satan to torment me, to make sure that I didn't get proud. So if he steps back out of the situation, sometimes our pain is the antidote to our real problem. Like, some of us have a problem with being prideful. And so God allows a painful situation to come into our life, and it's to keep us from getting to the place that would destroy us anyway. And what are you saying, Pastor Mike? We don't think about this, but all of that is the grace of God. I pray this prayer sometimes. Father, thank you for keeping us from all hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen. I think that's where the church needs to be more when it comes to the grace of God. There's things that God's grace covers that we see, like the decision we made that was wrong and all that. But there's some things that God's grace has allowed to keep us in places and in small places or in frustrating places and things that we don't like, discomfort, because it's keeping us for things we don't even see. When's the last time you thanked God for your small situation? Yeah. Let it sit. When the last time you thanked God for not blessing you with the bigger house? We don't. Because we didn't see the foreclosure after 2 years when we got the bigger house, because we actually did it in comparison with somebody else, and our job is about to close down in 3 weeks, and he's going to use this to start purpose in our life. But we don't see that. So we want things, and God says, my grace is going to use everything to shape you into who I've created you to be and to allow you to reach purpose. So we're sitting here like Paul, frustrated because we got thorns, frustrated because he won't take it away, frustrated because we're still walking around with a limp. And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. It says 3 different times he said, my grace is all you need. Somebody say that with me. My grace is all you need. One more time. My grace is all you need. What are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? Your problem was designed for his power. So whatever problem you have, God's grace is all you need. If you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it. But now it's time to allow the grace of God, the empowering grace of God that will help you do things that is not natural to you. It's time to allow him to take over. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? There's a new way that you have to conduct yourself when it comes to your problems. Introduce your problems to your power. See, we're always telling God about our problems. God, this person, no. Hello, person. I want you to be introduced to the power of God. I will pray for you until you like me. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Sickness, that's my problem. Problem, cancer. Let me introduce you to my power, the healing virtue of God, and I will pray until this cancer dries up on the inside of me. Oh, I'm not in a faith-filled church this morning. I'm not. See, this is the problem. We've been convinced too long that our problem is bigger than our God. And so what ends up happening is we don't introduce our problems to our God. We whine about our problems to our God. Switch it up. Switch it up. Start telling God, God, this is a hard situation. It's hard. Be real with him. It's hard to keep going to this job where I'm making minimum wage and they disrespect me. They don't even want me here and they prove it to me all the time. They don't even want me here, but God, I thank you that as I walk in there, I'm cloaked with your favor. I thank you that there is a divine nature, Father God, that you put on me and that every enemy that is around me, Father God, you will allow me to stand and withstand. Father God, I thank you that you just won't have me here, but you'll promote me in the presence of my enemies. Father, show me how to love, Father God, when they're hating on me. Show me, Father God, how to be hope, Father God, when it's a helpless situation. I need the empowerment, the grace of God to help me stand in a hard situation. I believe that God's grace is bigger than my problem. And some of y'all gonna have to listen to this message over and over because you've had so many years of your problems ruling that you don't understand that you have a divine power called the grace of God that will empower you to do what's not even that. Yes, I want to slap you. Like, that's what I want to do. But the Bible tells me to turn the other cheek. I'm going to need the supernatural power of God not to, like, turn around and walk. Do you understand what I'm saying? But how can you do that? By allowing God to empower you. And Pastor Mike, I need you to be more practical than that because, okay, we got to allow God to empower us. I'm going to give you the cheat code to life. I'm so excited. Look what it says. Just look. Paul goes from despair, frustration, and asking God to take all his pain away to then in one verse, his whole attitude changes. And in verse 9, look what it says. So now I'm glad. This is great, guys. People are hating on me. People are coming through. Hey, this sickness is here. I'm still dealing with these thoughts that are not like God. I'm still walking in a little bit of anger and I'm frustrated with my situation right now. But I'm glad. I boast about my weakness so that the power... Like, this is the trick. When you don't be quiet about your weakness, but you say, I'm still struggling with this. I'm still hurting in this area. I'm still walking in unforgiveness. I still have a little church hurt. I still need God to heal my heart in this area. When I expose my weakness, the power of Christ can work through me. Like, how do I go and lead when I've never led before? You allow the power. You say it. You tell God. Y'all know I lead a multi-million dollar corporation. I've never been to college. And I've never been to business school. And I'm sitting in meetings with bank presidents and all this other stuff. And I'm like, how am I supposed to do that? You missed my cheat code. Before I walk into the room, I expose my weakness. Father God, I've never been to business school. I don't know how to do this,
But I'm thanking you that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now living, oh, y'all better help me, on the inside of me. So, Father, as I step into this room, give me the mind of Christ. Give me acumen to be able to make right business deals and to move this ministry forward. I'm ready. Oh, y'all better hear me. I will walk in places without all of the qualification, and I will be empowered by the grace of God. Somebody give God a shout of praise right now. You've never been a mother before? You better ask God to empower you. You had a bad father? You better ask God to empower you to raise those kids. God is not concerned about what qualifications you have. He just wants you to expose your weakness so that he can stand up strong in you.
I feel the presence of God in this place. So Paul got excited and he says, man, that's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the trouble. I love it. I love everything I have to suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All I came to tell you, as we leave this series of grace, I don't want you to just have saving grace to know you're going to heaven. I don't want you to just have sustaining grace to let you know that God will just help me through. I want you to know that he'll empower you to walk into impossible situations, and the divine nature of God through his great and precious promises will be transferred to you, and you will be able to do what man says is impossible. They told me I would not last as a pastor. They told me there would be no impact. They told me I couldn't wear jeans and Jordans and preach the word of God. Look at me now. Do you understand what I'm... You better hear what I'm saying to you right now. That God is looking for somebody who won't take the credit, but will expose their weakness and say, God, this is where I'm weak. Can you stand in it? This is where I'm weak. Can you stand it? I still have a problem with my eyes. Can you stand in that? I still have a problem with unforgiveness. Can you stand in that? And every place you identify, God's power will supply. You better hear me. Every place where you say in my marriage I'm weak, God's power will supply it. In my finances I'm a poor steward, God's power will supply it. If you identify it, God will supply the power for it. So I want you to try this practical application this week, okay? Everybody write this down. Put it on the screen for me. I want you to do this. It says, when I am blank, what's your weakness? Because you know your weaknesses. I don't, right? But you know them. So when I'm weak, whatever you're weak in, because of the empowering grace of God, then I am, and put the opposite. Like, and so I started doing this before service, and I got hype on it. Because then I started realizing, like, God almost loves me being weak because it brings him more glory. Because I get to stand in his strength and get to bring him glory because everybody knows I shouldn't be up here. But God empowers me to do that. So I started, Paul put it in. He said, when I am weak because of the empowerment of God's grace, then I am strong. I said, when I'm overwhelmed because of the power, empowering grace of God, then I get overjoyed. Yeah, come on. This is going to be exercise. You're going to sit in the mirror and tell yourself this. You're going to be in your car. You're going to start saying stuff like this. When I'm pissed, I know some of y'all too saved for that, but when I'm pissed because of the empowering grace of God, then I am peaceful. Like I can have the opposite because of the empowering grace of God. When I'm greedy, when I don't want to give, when I don't want to share, because of the empowering grace of God, then I'm generous. I'm telling you, you got to start confessing the opposite of what you are experiencing. Because when you identify it, God's strength is made known in your weakness. Somebody give God praise right there. I just have to because I know somebody's dealing with it when I'm horny. Because of the empowerment of God's grace, then I am holy. Like you have to realize that no feeling, no temptation, the Bible says, that you'll ever experience that God can't allow you to have a way of escape. You can overcome it. So Pastor Mike, what do? You do the same thing that Abraham, David, Jonah, Peter, and Paul did. Like, even though you're messed up, as you're walking on this spiritual journey and you got a thorn, you got a hurt ankle, it's messing with your walk. It looks like you're walking with a limp. And see, that's where the church has a bad rap, is that we see people limping and then we point out their, why are they walking like that? You don't know the hell that I've been through. You don't know how hard it is to just stand. But I had this one coach in high school that I had sprained my ankle or twisted my ankle or something with my ankle as I was running up and down the basketball court, and I fell. Because, you know, when I get hurt, it's over. Like, I hit that key. I was like, like that was me. Like, and the trainer ran over. And y'all, because this is how it is in life. When we get hit, we usually fall out or fall down or don't want to keep going. And the enemy, remember, he convinces us that I probably should stay down. And now I'm trying to scoot to the bench. Like, I don't want to play no more. And that's how many believers look right now in their spiritual walk. God's been telling you you're supposed to serve and work in this area and do all this other stuff, but you've been scooting to the bench because you got hurt at some point in the process. But do you know what the trainer told me to do? I was flabbergasted. Do y'all know what he told me to do? He said, get up and walk it off. I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He said, if you leave it like that, it could swell up and become so hurtful that you can't move it. But if we get it in infant stage, and even if you have to walk with the, y'all better hear me. Even if people have to see me not at my best, even if people have to see me start from the bottom, he said that at some point it'll turn into something that looks more regular and you can go from where you were to where God wants you to be. I dare somebody who's going to keep walking with their limp because of the grace of God to give God a shout of praise in this place. Come on, we're going to keep moving forward. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? No matter where you are, keep walking with your limp. Don't stop. Don't fall. Don't go off. Keep walking with your limp. I know you're still dealing with that thought, or you still take a sip of alcohol on the weekend. God said, I'll deal with that. You give me your heart, I'll deal with your habits. He said, keep walking with your limp. At some point, you're not going to have the same issue if you don't drop and fall and go to the sideline. God said, the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. I thought the way that we end this series is letting you know that the grace of God is not just to save you and not just to sustain you, but it's to empower you that whatever you're going through, you can keep moving forward even if you have a limp. I want to play a song for you by Jonathan McReynolds that literally brings this whole thing into 3 minutes and 45 seconds of understanding. And I want you to know that this is what the grace of God is for. This is what it does for your life. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. God is for you, and he has a purpose that he will reveal in you, and he won't just ask you to do something. He'll empower you to do it. Keep walking with your limp. Check this out.
Broken, innocence stolen, and I know I'm a different man. See, life hits and life hurts. Think I've seen some of life's worst, but you've been here, so you understand. See, I fell and I broke something, but I couldn't tell, 'cause I kept running away from your love and grace. So my trips and my pains, my failures, they only made me desperate to seek your face. The devil hoped this injury would make me stop and take defeat, but I know Jesus walks with me, so I'll just keep on walking with my limp. 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 I'm imperfect, so I slipped up and I had my heart ripped up. But you're the lifter of my head. So please come and please heal how I think and how I feel, and I'll live by what you said. And you said, heavy laden, come to me. The flawed, the lame, the weak, and I'll be everything you need. So I'll just keep on walking with my limp. 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 Victory, 'cause when they beat you, you look just like me. You're struggling, but your passion and your love, it kept you walking with you. Calvary walking with you. No matter what they said, you kept walking with me. Yeah, that's my Savior with his love. So one day I could walk with my limp. And I could still be loved, even with my limp. And I could still be used, even with my limp. And I could still be saved, even with my limp. Oh, so I'll just keep on walking with my limp.
Can we give God some praise in this building? Everybody that's going to be empowered by the grace of God to keep walking with your limp.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.